You're listening to It's Poppin' with Franny the Film Snob.
Greetings and salutations, film lovers. I am Franny the Film Snob, today doing my first episode of It's Poppin' with me. And today I have Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
What is up?
Not much.
What is popping?
Nothing yet. It's no popcorn or anything right now. It's just relaxing right now.
Cool.
Relaxing talking to you.
You ready for this? I'm a little nervous. It's my first podcast.
Yeah, I'm ready. This is like my like 8,000th podcast. So, you know.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
It'll be all right.
Just rub it in.
I'll guide you along the way.
I'm a fucking noob, so you guys enjoy this very vulnerable podcast.
It's gonna be awesome.
All right, it is. And we are doing Jojo Rabbit. Yes. This amazing, dramatic, cinematic, emotionally overwhelming experience for me was Jojo Rabbit. I absolutely loved it. And I'm glad it actually won at the Oscars for Best Adaptation, right? Film.
Adaptation. Yeah, it was really good.
Yes. Which means, for those of you who do not know, means it went from book to screenplay to movie.
That blew me away because I didn't even know it was an actual book. You brought that up to my attention. And I was like, oh, okay. That's fair.
Because I actually watched the Oscars this year because there were some movies I was hoping would win. I gave up on the Oscars when Suicide Squad won. I was like, this is bullshit. And then that fish porno one, I was like, I'm done.
Yeah. But people like that bestiality shit, so.
Technically, would it be like
still bestiality, because it's still animal. It's still animal and human doing things, so.
Aquaphilia?
Probably, yeah.
But yeah, it's a movie called the movie Jojo Rabbit is based on a book called Caging Skies.
Okay.
Which apparently the amazing writer, director, actor, comedian, I need your help here, Steve.
Aika Waititi.
Waititi. Yeah, I'm calling by his last name.
Aika Waititi.
I respect him too much to ruin it, so I'm just gonna call him Waititi. He apparently said in his speech that his mom got him into this book and he thanked her. So that's awesome, because I think turning a book into a movie or into a screenplay takes a lot of hard work and talent. That is not easy. You could easily drop the ball and fucking lose your way when doing that. Ready Player One is a great example of losing your way. And also the new Harry Potter movies, The Amazing Beasts. I have a hot and cold hate love relationship with them because they're not written well as a screenplay. She needs to get someone to help her turn her novel into a screenplay because it's just not written very well. Doesn't flow as smoothly. So people got to recognize that just because you write a really great novel doesn't mean you can write a really great screenplay.
Isn't The Fantastic Beasts just like one small book?
It is. And she focused more on turning it into a movie more than to a novel.
I think it was more like the studio that was actually focusing more on making it into a movie. Because, her was just a small little thing. Oh, okay.
I double checked because I was like, damn, you know, like this has some hot and cold areas. What the fuck's going on? Because Harry Potter itself was great, and the last two were phenomenal. I wish all of them were that good.
Well, it was the right way to end off an entire series.
Right. But also like the writing, you know, the lines, the drama, the intensity. I know it was kind of like a build-up, and you get to see how everybody evolved, you know, which was great. But I would have loved it to be a game all the way through, you know.
I got you.
But they were still very good. Yeah, they're phenomenal. Okay. It's one of my favorite series.
So you're saying that the Fantastic Beasts was more less than fantastic and more like a beast?
Yeah, because it comes down to the adaptation, turning, you know, going from novel to screen to screenplay. It, you know, it takes a lot of work. And I'm just saying that Waititi is a very talented man.
Word.
And
I completely agree.
I am like absolutely impressed because I first found out about Waititi and What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I love that movie. That movie's amazing. He co-wrote it with the dude from The Flight of the Conchords.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's fantastic. They also have the TV show now that he is still also a part of. And
Which I need to watch, actually.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
No, I haven't watched it.
Oh, it's phenomenal. And again, Waititi and his creative mind blew the fucking top off of the whole lore of vampire. He took it to the whole next level, and it made sense, and it's very creative. I don't want to ruin it, but he expanded on the vampire lore in a phenomenal way.
Okay. So you can pretty much say that he's basically like he's on some shrooms, and it's pretty much like warped everybody's minds.
He Sparta kicked Anne Rice into that pit and was like, "I am Waititi," and kicked her into the fucking pit and took over the lore of the vampires. That's what he did. He is fucking Sparta when it comes to film talent. He's unbelievable, and this film. I didn't even know he also did Thor.
He did my favorite Thor, Ragnarok.
That wow! Like I was like, holy shit! So
when he was also the voice of one of them in that movie too.
Was he the rock dude?
Mm-hmm.
See, yeah, he's like phenomenal. See, I knew that, and usually I suck at you know those small details. but he's just so great. I want to be all up in his talent.
Okay, good.
But that's my history behind Waititi. So Jojo Rabbit, I was kind of like, this looks different, you know, and don't want people to twist this the wrong way. But I love the whole Nazi movies. I love them. I find them very interesting, very dramatic. You know, they always hurt. If I want to tear up and I want to feel,
You think it would hurt just a little bit?
Watch Schindler's List and you know stuff like that.
That fucking little girl, the red coat. Yeah.
You know, and what else? There's another one that this really reminded me of when I saw the trailer, and it's called Swing Kids, and that.
Yeah, you told me about it, and I still haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. It's cool. It came out in 1993 and was directed by Thomas Carter.
Okay.
And it starred Robert Sean Leonard, which is, you know, House?
Mm-hmm.
He's House's best friend. He's the cancer doctor.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Oh, he's so hot. So it's him and it's Christian Bale.
Okay.
And gorgeous teenagers. And it's a coming of age movie that had to do about teens in the Hitler Youth. So during the day, they had to be part of the Hitler Youth. And at night, they would go out and listen to swing music and do underground swing clubs because they just were not about that life. But back then, with the propaganda and the whole brainwashing the youth, which was like, the Nazis, like that's what they were really good at, that and taking people into the moon.
Mm-hmm.
these young kids had no choice, you know, and I don't know, I find that part of history just as terrifying as it is, I find it also very interesting, you know, because no one ever really talked about them, You know, right. I always heard about the adult Nazis. I didn't even know that there was a Hitler Youth until I went to college.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because I didn't really know about that shit until way later. Also,
so that blew my mind thinking about when I was a kid. You know, so this movie shows that, and in Swing Kids, of course, eventually some kids started getting brainwashed and believing it. And these were a group of teenagers that both they start in the beginning not giving a fuck about the regime.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually they start to split up because some are falling, you know, some are getting sucked in and the other ones aren't.
Right.
And when I saw this trailer,
kind of how it is with a lot of people, not just like like that, but also like religion and fucking like politics and shit like that. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Except, I guess not as terrifying because they don't take you as a little kid, you know, and force feed it to you.
Okay.
You know, in that regard, you know. Well, actually, no, it's totally wrong. People do force their kids to go to church. Okay, I take that back. but yeah, so I've never seen a movie like that ever again after Swing Kids. So when I saw the trailer for Jojo Rabbit, and I saw that's what it was aimed towards. And they had Hitler skipping in the beside the little kid, made me think of the producers, you know, Springtime for Hitler and Germany. So I immediately was on board before I even knew who wrote it. Cause I was like, oh my God, it's younger youth, you know, because a teenager to a 12-year-old is a completely different mindset. A completely different world and a completely different type of training, you know, for the Nazi regime. So it was like, oh my God, yes, give it to me. And it was just like I thought. It was funny, but it was also very emotionally intense.
Yeah, it basically gave you the whole spectrum from beginning to end, whether you're laughing or whether you're sad or whether you even shed a fucking tear. It takes you everywhere.
It does. And I do love the imaginary friend aspect that I thought was phenomenal. That little tiny aspect kind of makes me interested in reading the book. Because if this little boy is projecting all this stuff through an imaginary friendly Hitler, if that's in the book, then that's going to be more, you know, in depth in the book that I'm really interested to see what the back and forth, you know, is, because the movie was so good. But I guess he didn't want to take away from the drama.
Right. Yeah, he didn't want to take away. And then he also wanted to just feed into a little bit of everything.
Right. Right. He was literally the very, very thin comedic aspect of the film. And I love that because once again, that's a tricky mistress there too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
also to add to that, like I had listened to him on a podcast previously before watching the movie, and I heard that the reason that he played Hitler is because nobody else wanted to do it.
Right, because just like me talking about it, I got to drop down a little label saying, hey, I just find it interesting. It's a part of history. It's a very dark part of history. Don't take it to the next level. And look, that shows it right there. No one wanted to play Hitler. So he was like, let me do it, you know? Yeah. And that's great. Cause he did a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm.
And he balanced it very, very well.
Almost definitely.
And that still gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. It was really a cinematic experience, which is what this snob loves.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah.
I like leaving the theater traumatized and emotional.
But in a good way.
Yes, yes, in a good way. Not in a Star Wars kind of way. So let me see what else. I don't know. Come on, Steve. You give me some insight. What did you like so much? I just talked about the balance of the thin comedic imaginary Hitler. What that really grabbed me. What grabbed you?
So there are two things that I really enjoyed about this, about, well, more than just two things, but two things that I kind of want to point out is basically the two, like, two relationships that he had in this entire movie, other than, like, his friends, but, like, the relationship that he had with his mother.
Oh, Scarlett Johansson was phenomenal in this movie. I actually, I'll bring it up later, because that's one of my nitpicks, but yes, continue.
But yeah, his relationship with her was one of the, probably one of the best relationships you would see in a movie, especially with a single mother. At the time, because they do explain how he basically goes out to the war or whatever, right. And he hasn't come back, and
he's MIA. We don't know if he's dead. Exactly. We don't know if he's alive.
Exactly. So she's basically trying to play the role as dad and as, you know, the mom, but yet she's still working and doing whatever she has to do to, you know, keep him, like, living and being actually all right. Mm-hmm. Which is one of the things that I really enjoyed about the movie. And the second thing that I enjoyed was his relationship with the little girl.
Mm.
That was another really good part of the movie. Because basically she was the one that basically formed the way it kind of brought his thought process past the whole Hitler Youth thing. Which is one thing that I did enjoy a lot.
Yes, yes.
Because of course, him going through the college system and the training system, he was only going by just whatever they taught him, what the Jews were.
Right, right. Whatever you heard, you believed, and the parents, and of course, at that age, couldn't talk against it. Mm-hmm. If they did, the kids would report them. So it was a very crazy and unique way that the regime had everyone by the balls.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie did showcase this very, very efficiently, very accurately, and very poetically. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and then as the movie got on, you basically got to see how both of those worlds slowly started to interact with each other, and it was really, really good the way it went through.
Yes, 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 it was. So on that note, what kind of I wanted more of was they did dabble in the fact that even though the mom was on her own and she had to take care of her son, she was still doing things against the regime on the down low, despite the trouble she would get in. And I would have liked to have seen more of that. I would have liked a little more detail in that. I felt like it was a little too vague, and I kind of wanted more of the juice.
Mm-hmm.
And another one was his sister. There's a giant plot hole in there where, you know, his older sister is gone or dead, and they talk about how she might not be dead. You know, we don't know. She might be. And they vaguely also touch on that, which I kind of wanted some more of that as well, which makes me want to go out and get the book. So right. I don't know if he intentionally did that so people could go read his favorite book. Mm-hmm. But as a movie, I felt like that was missing for me. I just needed a little bit more of some more detail on that, some more drama on it, so I could feel a little bit more, because it was so vague. It was hard for me to like really feel, you know, like,
makes sense.
So what else?
So to touch on those two points that you said,
I think
the reason that they did the whole thing with the sister was because she wasn't the main point. Like, yes, she was a little bit of the plot, but she wasn't necessarily a whole subject of the entire movie. It's like having just like a throwaway character in a movie. Like, you don't want to just have an extra person in the movie when they don't really bring anything to it. So bringing in this other girl into the movie was the one thing that made it a bit better for me, which is what I enjoyed about it. The fact that we didn't really focus too much on the other sister. Yeah, she had her room and everything, but it wasn't all about her just being away. That's it.
I'm not talking about focusing on her, just a little bit more detail so I could feel. I didn't give a shit. I was like, I didn't care, you know, and I know I'm supposed to feel something when she's hiding in the cubby with the girl talking to her about looking a tiger in the eye and how you remind me of my daughter, et cetera, et cetera. For me to actually feel it, I would have liked maybe a faded flashback of the sister, something to make me feel. For the sister, you know, I felt more for the dad, and I liked the mystery with the mom. You know, right. I would have liked just a little more juice of her doing naughty things, you know, because they only show her dropping one note down for right. the resistance. I would have liked at least one more spy scene before they killed her, because then that would have hit me hard, because honestly, I didn't care that she died. What really hit me hard was when JoJo went to tie her shoe. Yeah. That hit me hard because, like, I understand that, like, JoJo and everything he went through was what was really hitting me hard. Mm-hmm. And everybody was kind of pawns, but I seriously would have loved to have fucking full on cried when his mom died. You right. know, or get really scared when this chick was pretending to be his sister, you know? So I'm just talking about just a little sprinkle, not no focus, because you're absolutely right that that would have been useless. I just wanted a little bit more sprinkle and a little bit more juice so I could have fully cried.
Right. See, that's the one thing too. Like, if they did add in, like, oh yeah, like a little flashback or something, it wouldn't have made sense for the movie, because it was like, yeah, we're living in the now. We're not living in, like, well, what happened in the past? Because we're just trying to figure out what's going on throughout the entire movie. We're not just trying to figure out what's going on in the past at all.
Tomato, tomato. Those are the reasons why it doesn't get a 10 for me. It didn't make me fully cry. Okay. But it was great, and it left me wanting to go read the book. Yeah, you know?
Well, that's good. That's fair.
Mm-hmm. I loved his friend. His cute little chubby friend was just adorable. He was literally like, "I gotta do this because, you know, my parents sent me."
and then he's walking around with the freaking the machine gun or whatever it is towards the end or whatever. And he's like, yeah, I guess I'm just going to, you know, keep shooting people.
Yeah, and when he's like, this is made out of paper, and it's a suit. He was like, I'm so happy you have a girlfriend, even though she was a Jew. It really showed the innocence of the kids, even though they were being force-fed all this hate, mm-hmm. you know, which also kind of, that really reminded me of Swing Kids. You know, in the terms of they were told that Jews are bad, but a part of them was kind of like, well, they didn't do anything to me. You know, I'm dancing with one of them. What, like, what you're telling me doesn't make any sense, because when I'm with them, that doesn't happen. And that's kind of what happens with him when he finds the girl.
Right.
He starts to find out that what they've been telling him doesn't make any sense, even with her teasing him. About sleeping upside down.
That was cute, though. I did like that. And then how he was trying to make her feel bad about the boyfriend and everything.
Oh, yeah, with the little notes.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to break up with you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It was very charming, and I can't wait to see more of his work.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the next Kevin McAllister.
Don't burn me at the stake, but who? I'm terrible in names.
Kevin McAllister, fucking Home Alone.
Oh, wait, he's supposed to do a Home Alone movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that recently came out or whatever, from what I've heard.
I did not know that at all. Well, I'm on board. I want to see everything that he's dipping his talent into, except Thor, Love and Lightning. I'm really not excited about that movie.
And Thor, Love and Thunder.
Yeah, it sounds like a porno parody.
It's probably already out there.
I really don't want to see what's her face half naked.
She's not gonna be half naked.
The Black Swan chick.
Yeah, but Lady Thor never gets naked, though.
She's too skinny for me. Yeah, but if it is a porn parody, someone's clothes is coming off.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
I hope it's Thor's. No.
Probably paid with Bill.
But that is the only movie that I'm I'm on the fence about, because I feel like a lot of things could go wrong with it, you know, studio, the story itself. So I think he's just directing it. I'm not 100% sure if he's writing it yet. Mm-hmm. I really don't know much about it. So.
Oh, and what I meant by playing in Home Alone, I meant the kid is playing in Home Alone, not Taika Waititi.
Oh, wait, what is he going to be in?
In Home Alone.
Wait, they're making another Home Alone?
Yeah. With the kid.
With Macaulay Culkin?
No, with the kid.
Oh, with the kid from Jojo Rabbit?
Yeah.
Oh my God, man. Stop giving me messages to decode and just say.
I thought I was pretty clear.
I thought you were talking about Waititi, and then I thought you were talking about Macaulay Culkin. I was so confused. Breadcrumbs. Leave me fucking breadcrumbs. Okay. That's cool. Too bad I will not be watching it, because he is a great actor. That kid is phenomenal. That kid made me feel, son.
Word.
That kid made me feel all up in my jellies.
Word. The good jellies. Not the bad jellies.
I don't have bad jellies. I guess you have bad jellies. You have
sometimes.
my it just goes straight to rage. It doesn't make it to any gooey jelly part. It's either I'm feeling in my jellies, or I'm gonna go punch somebody.
Or you're gonna Hulk smash. I feel
right, like. Right. I'm gonna Franny rant and start tipping tables over and shit. There's no in between. There's no gray. unless it's Ryan Reynolds. So
that's fair.
So is there anything else you want to talk about with this film? The music also was on point.
Yes. The fact that they actually mixed in a lot of the contemporary music from that time into the movie was actually really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I also love the fact that they never for a second lost the train of thought of a 12-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it never made me go, what? A kid wouldn't say that, or a kid wouldn't do that, or, oh, you know, like it stood in the realm of the age of their characters, yep. Which again means dedication and focus on the actual screenplay.
Yeah. It wasn't just throwing... Just, oh, yeah, here's a little bit of the kids' thoughts, and then just do all grown-up shit.
With kids, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or just have one of them be, like, the main point. You know, like I was saying before, his little tiny chubby friend was rememberable. He wasn't forgettable, like, half the cast in It, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, because that's what I liked about it, the fact that it was actually, like kids can actually watch this movie.
Right, and learn and feel and still also be entertained.
Mm-hmm. Damn right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the cinematography was... Yes, was beautiful. It was. I loved it. It was very playful.
It was.
The angles and the colors in such a dark, dramatic setting...
Mm-hmm.
The color scheme, especially like with their clothes, especially Scarlett Johansson, to have her stand out as, you know, like something bright and something colorful against the backdrop of the beige and the brown. Oh my god, so good.
It gave me feel like if we were in that time period.
Mm-hmm.
Everything felt like it was perfectly timed for, you know, for World War II. Everything
right.
That was going on around that time, that's how everything should have looked.
Right, and I also feel that like the color balance also displayed the emotions, mm-hmm. of what was going on in the scene and in that time period.
Absolutely,
because even the little boy's outfit starts changing. As he starts growing, you know, he starts changing. And another scene that like really hit me hard and like made me cry. I cried for this scene when his instructor from the fucking youth group.
Oh yeah.
Sacrificed himself and saved him.
Mm-hmm.
That made me cry. That made that, that, and I wanted Scarlett Johansson's death to make me cry, but that scene with the instructor, that hit me so hard, and the tears came down. That was a very powerful scene, and it also kind of was thought provoking for me too. I was thinking the whole time, did he not want to, you know, be there? Because he acted like he didn't want to be there in the beginning, but I thought it was because he was injured. You know, when he did that. And when he also apologized about his mom dying and like how it affected him, I was wondering, was he also a person that was forced into this because there was no other choice?
He probably was. He probably was. Even from the opening shot, the opening scenes with him in it, like Sam Rockwell, he's the great fucking actor. The fact that he was just so nonchalant about it, like, yeah, I'm here.
I'm here. Yeah. Yeah, and again, it goes back to phenomenal writing and development of character throughout the story, like consistent, you know, like you see every single character grow from the moment the movie starts to the ending. Every single person, every extra with a couple lines had an impactful, they all needed to be there to have an impact on the entire film itself. It's just, I get off on that amazingness. That's so good. That is such a great movie from start to finish. It's so hard to find those.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh, man. I've watched it like 10 times.
Because the thing is, like, it is worth watching all those times. It's really fucking good.
And like I said, it wasn't until the second or third time I started thinking about the instructor and going, holy shit. Mm-hmm. I think he didn't want to be there either. He didn't want to be a Nazi.
He didn't.
Even
the people that were like supposed to be like comedic roles were actually really good. And like Stephen Merchant and Rebel Wilson both did really good jobs as like comedic roles or whatever. Even though Stephen Merchant really wasn't much of a comedic role. He was more like a dick or whatever. But seeing him do it, it actually made sense for him being in it.
Mm-hmm.
Rebel Wilson was just hilarious.
Yeah. What was it? A Jew brainwashed my uncle to cheat on his wife.
Yeah.
I've seen it. It's true. Great. Oh God! If you guys have not seen it, you have to go watch this movie.
For sure, especially since you now know that it actually won an Oscar for something.
Well, like I said in the beginning, that doesn't always account for a good movie.
Yeah, true. You're right.
But this time around, it does. It does. Yeah. Watiti did an amazing job. He deserves that award, and I look forward to all of his work to come. I really do.
Yeah, he's a great director and a great writer, and like a lot of the things that he's put out has been pretty damn good.
And he's a great actor. He's in that entire movie, What We Do in the Shadows.
Okay.
He's the main vampire. And it's a mockumentary. You really gotta check it out.
Yeah, that's definitely gonna check it out.
You know what? We should do that next. Since we're talking about Watiti, let our next review be What We Do in the Shadows.
But we can do that.
And make it a Watiti month.
Watiti month? We're going to have to do like three more.
We could cheat and do Thor. and then we could watch the TV show.
We can do that. That's fine. That works.
I want you to go on a journey with me. You'll be going backwards because you saw Thor, I'm assuming, first, and then you saw Jojo Rabbit, and now you're gonna see What We Do in the Shadows. So
that's fair. I don't mind going in reverse.
Okay, all right, cool. Maybe we should do Thor next then. I want to save What We Do in the Shadows for last since you haven't seen it.
We're gonna do the movie and the TV show on separate episodes or just.
I guess it depends on how fast you can watch it. because technically it's all together, you know, like, but he's not in, he's only in one episode in a TV show.
Okay. So how about we just go with the movie then?
Yeah,
that's fair.
Cool. Great. Hope you guys tune in for that. Do you have anything else to add about this phenomenal film, Steve?
No, it's great. Like, I loved it from the beginning, from the first time that I watched it. And, like, I watched it a few times, and every single time that I watched it, I've grown to love it even more.
So it's awesome. I give this movie an epically awesome stamp of approval, a 9 out of 10 for me. Yes.
Motherfucking right. I give it a 10 out of 10.
Nice.
I enjoy the entire thing. There wasn't like a dull moment in it for me. So
that's great.
Fuck yeah.
All right, guys, that's all we got for you today. Thank you for tuning in and listening to this snob and this movie fan, Steve.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I don't have a close out yet, so you can find me here on Inner City Geeks with It's Popping with Franny, this film snub. You can find me on Instagram, Franny_thefangirl. And yes, I still have a YouTube. It is on hiatus. Hopefully I could make a comeback very soon. But right now I want to dabble a little bit more into the what's popping. But you can find me on YouTube at Franny the Fangirl. And Steve, where can we find you?
You can also find me on all things innercitygeeks.net. So you got this show. You can find me on Inner City, the main show, which is the Inner City Geeks podcast that Fran is on as well.
Yes!
And a bazillion other things that's on there. A bazillion other things that are on there sometimes. So
inconsistency is what we do.
Exactly. That's what we do best. Yeah, so make sure you check all that stuff out. It's pretty dope. So
hope you guys enjoyed the show, and keep watching movies. I need a better closer. But anyway.
Yeah, later guys.
Later.